Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, Files. Again, I'm Jerry Pippin. I'm in Roswell, New Mexico, and one of our favorite people in the world, Daryl Sims, is here, the alien hunter. Daryl, you've been busy doing seminars or a little, actually, what do you call them?
Actually, they're workshops.
Yeah, right. And I heard that you actually, in this workshop, tell people how to defend themselves against an alien being.
Well, we actually did. We had several people that had been confronted by an alien entity, and some of them had been assaulted, and we simply showed them what they could do that didn't require much strength to be able to defend themselves.
By the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I guess one fellow, from what I hear of a third-party report, didn't think you could... you know, you had your hand on his chest or something, and the next thing you know, he was laying on the floor.
Well, I told these people, I said, the remarkable thing about, I said, I'm a fourth degree black belt in the martial arts, and I said, what I want to show you is how little strength you can use to exert power against something to move it. And this took a big boy there, as strong as a bull. And basically, I said, I'm going to take my open hand, just the back of my hand, soft, gentle, and I said, and like wind, watch what happens. And I moved it against his chest suddenly, and but gently, and he said, it felt like wind touched me, and he flew against the wall, and he says, how'd you do that?
From now on, I'm going to be really nice to Daryl.
That's what I was going to talk to you about. You know, we need to talk.
how's your book coming along?
The book is moving along very well. I'm Pat Gray is a nurse at... as my conference designer has been helping me with the book and proofing and doing a lot of stuff, just really helping out and making the book come to pass, basically, very quickly. And she really cracks the whip and forces me to get things done. And as a result, the book is going to be out this year without any question, and probably a lot sooner than later, because we have the financing for it and we have everything's in place. And we're probably going to put it completely on CD and with a lot of pictures in CD, because the book itself only with pictures would take a freight train to haul it and probably cost too much. Well, the only probably people we have afforded to be you.
Thanks a lot. I don't think you, thanks for the compliment anyway. What kind of pictures are we talking about?
Well, some of the pictures of we'll have in there, the book is about fluorescence, invisible and invisible findings that we've had in the infrared and ultraviolet range, as well as visible light. In other words, your audience would obviously is very familiar with people who have unusual lumps, bumps, cuts, scars, implants, or whatever kind of things that have happened to them as a result of their abductions or encounters. But what a lot of people don't know is the fact that there actually is physical evidence, sometimes not visible. It shows up in infrared and ultraviolet range. That's what the book's going to cover as well. It's kind of a wonderful, easy read into exactly what the world of the visible and invisible of the alien is like. And it goes through a lot of interviews, and the people who have interviewed me and talked to me, from Ted Oliphant, the famous Fife, Alabama police officer who basically got the cattle mutilation stuff really going. A lot of people hopscotched off of his work. He's quite good. And then what we're going to do, what we're taking off from there, is pursuing the book in another direction so that we can actually show people what alien entities actually look like. They've been photographed. These are pictures that are not available. I mean, it's just a lot of wonderful stuff.
You actually have some pictures of alien entities.
We believe that is correct. We're very happy with the actual photos we have. We probably will show some fake ones as well, but there's plenty of them those on the internet anyway. But so we just generally like to deal with the real stuff.
Now, when this thing comes out, what's kind of a timeline, you think? Later this year?
I think we're looking at before Christmas,
right,
for
that's,
sure.
That's
what it's going to hit in time for all of that. And like I said, the financing is in place. It's just a matter of one of the difficulties we may, a little stumbling block glitch we may have here, is that as I was leaving for Roswell, working my computer the last few minutes, I kept noticing big pieces of my computer was just disappearing on the screen. I realized that I've got some kind of a worm or Trojan or something under, and it's got two different virus detectors. But we just acquired us a brand new tech that is just brilliant, and he said, you'll never have that problem again. He said,
right.
Somebody's hurting you, and he said, I will stop that.
Fantastic, fantastic. That's good news. After you send him over to our place, we get those attacks too. Let's talk a little bit about Roswell. First of all, you've been coming here a lot, several years.
Yes.
And your workshops this year, you had a lot of people turn out. And you have a lot of people turning out for your lot of workshops. In fact, I talked to somebody from Italy the other day who was still talking about your Italian trip, and you made a lot of news on that trip.
Yes, we did. We did very well.
And your TV appearance here was highly rated. And so you've been around the world looking for aliens.
Well, that's basically true, and the only one I've ever found is on the Jerry Pippen Show.
And he was looking at Roberta Scott, our producer, at the time. Not at me, folks.
Well, it's definitely the most beautiful alien I have ever seen.
Now we know why Daryl is so successful, silver-tongued devil he is. But anyway, not seriously, Daryl. I talked to you one time, you said, and it made sense to me at the time, aliens are kidnapping us, why couldn't we kidnap an alien? Have you tried to follow that up at all?
Actually, we have. We have a scientist, two scientists, and one in particular that I'll speak of. And he came to me, and he did not have kind words for the alien entities when he found out what they were doing. This is a scientist who has no interest in the UFO phenomena whatsoever. He just happened to show up at a conference, listen to the conference, and pulled me aside and said, why don't you go get them? And I said, that's what I do. And he said, I bet you know exactly where they're at. And I said, pretty much. Or I said, at least I know how to entice them to a location where they would be interested to show up. And I said, but you kind of need to be ready when that happens. It's a kind of a one-time deal. He said, I can help you with that. In fact, I was so impressed with what I saw and heard from him, not just because he said that and because of his interest, but mostly because of some actual discoveries that he's made in the high-tech world. And if I told you what they were, you'd know exactly who he was, and he does not want to be known. But he said, I will help you with this, and he said, I think with what you are, all you need, he said, is basically the trap. He said, I think you know how to trap him already. I said, that's what I do. I help him. It all boils down to if a person is a trapper, a good one, a successful trapper knows the habits of what they trap. Just that simple. The reason we were so easy to catch as abductees is because the trapper knew our habits.
Mm-hmm.
Now after 38 years, I've learned a lot about his habits. And now the predator has become the prey.
And you had things happen at your house, I know, over the years. We don't want to give away any secrets. We're going to try to trap this being, but I imagine you do know the trap. I imagine you know a scenario you can set up.
There's a number of things that we've outlined. In fact, we're taking this in at real baby steps to begin with. We have certain procedures and high-tech equipment, or maybe medium tech, I would call it, equipment that we're actually stationing in people's homes that are abductees, that are people we feel like are valid in their experiences, and they're very quite honorable and decent people. And we think that we might be able to actually film one of these entities. As you know, most people that have tried that have found their video recorder turned off, and they were abducted anyway. The reason is, in my opinion, and this book will show it, that these entities with that large black eye, which is probably nothing more than the lens cover that allows them to see an infrared, ultraviolet, invisible range of light all at the same time. So he sees your cameras, your secret equipment on, and you're in virtually every case, in my opinion, you're not going to catch him. There again, it's because the people who want to do this don't know the habits and don't know the makeup of the quarry. It's just that simple.
Now the entity that shows up that does the abductions. We've talked about that before, but I want to get this straight in my mind. This is not the real entity, is it? Or is the gray, so-called gray, is that real? Is that a real being, or is that kind of a hybrid of some sort, or a techno man, or something?
Well, Gary, you're always asking the right questions, and The reason, I guess, that's why you're so popular and so famous with your program. You always cut to the chase and get to it.
He's a silver-tongued devil.
Well, that $100,000 you're going to give me after this program. No, I'm just kidding, of course.
You're going to have to wait a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly.
To bank the check.
But the fact is that these entities, based on the best evidence and information we have, and this is from my own personal experiences from 1952 when I was 3.5 years old, where I was conscious of my own events. The events lasted for 13 years and then ended violently when I was 17. But the entities that I saw then as a child, I was stunned by. I wasn't scared. I wasn't frightened. I simply was shocked to see the thing in my room. I did not know what it was. And as a little boy, I looked at it. And the reason I mention this to your audience is because this will give you a sense of what it's like for a child to see versus the investigator 38 years later. What I saw was a being about a little over 5 foot tall that had large black eyes that were perfectly round, not like the lens type that you see with the elliptical lenses now. And what I saw then is what shocked me was that the entity had no mammary glands, no belly button, and of course, as a kid would describe it, no teepee, which told me that he didn't mate, he did not procreate, he wasn't born because he didn't have an umbilical cord, and as I see now, he didn't nurse simply because, again, he wasn't born.
So he was created.
He either was hatched, cloned.
Daryl Sims with us, the alien hunter. We're talking about your first alien encounter when you were, what, 3.5?
3.5 years old.
Now, your dad lived in Muskogee at one time.
He did.
My hometown.
Back. Well, that's, see, all the best people come from there.
Yeah. Did you ever live there, or you came along later?
No, my daddy took me by there. He said, I want to show you where I used to get my spankings. And it was a little old one-room school, and he said, they used to take me right behind there because I used to cut up and tear up in the class and just cause a ruckus. And he said, that's where I got my spankings, right back there.
So you had these, your first encounter, you were 3.5.
In Midland, Texas.
And these continued for how long?
My events continued until I was 17 years old, and at the time was living in Bowles Acres, New Mexico, right outside Alamogordo.
Do you have any idea why they stopped, or did you have something to do with that? Or?
Well, I have two answers to that. The first answer is I did nothing to plan that. I simply had no idea why they were happening and continuing over a 13-year period. What I did find in the experience is that they ended quite violently, and a whole different set of entities showed up at the last event, which just befuddled me because my handler, or the one that always shows up to get me, I call him the pizza man, because basically I think we're nothing but pizza, and all he does is pick you up and deliver you, bring you back, so we're not much more than pizza as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I was pepperoni and they didn't like pepperoni. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, who knows? But one of our abductees, my senior investigator, who's a genius IQ and just a brilliant guy, an engineer and all this, and designs all kinds of cogeneration plants and just an amazing guy. He, in his abductions one day, it's amazing that he's one of the few people that the aliens actually will answer a question for once in a while without lying to him. And he just happened to, in a moment of clarity, looked at him after his abduction and said, why don't you ever abduct Darl anymore? And they looked at him really weird, and with their little mental talk, said, he's not controllable. And that was their only response. So is that correct? Hey, I don't know. But the statement, I think, is as accurate in its description, that I will not bend to that will, and I will not agree to it, and I'm just not going to.
So you're like the genes, you're showing no fear with these people.
Well, the fear that happens within an individual, it's based on my own experiences in over 1,000 cases worldwide, is the fear is actually installed. It's part of a mechanism that they do to keep you under control. It might even be used in some cases to protect them. Because once these entities are in three dimensions, they're vulnerable. Now, once they're in two dimension or wherever it is they go, whatever it is they do, it's real hard to catch one and find it there. But when they're in three dimensions, they definitely show signs of interest, of protection, and watching out for their own little hides.
So as far as you're concerned, they do show fear themselves.
They do. In fact, the small little entity, the small one everybody often refers to as the gray, is directly under the guy that some people refer to as the doctor, he's a being that looks just like the little gray, but he's taller and he's a lot smarter. And the little entities are absolutely afraid of displeasing the doctor type or the boss, their little boss. And they get real upset and even fearful if he notices something was done wrong or inappropriately.
Do you think there's some sort of a punishment thing going on there? Or?
All I can only say that if there's a fear, there must be some threat that's valid, I would think. And I'm just assuming, because I never saw anybody get a beating or anything. But then I never saw any bathrooms on board, and I never saw any places to plug them in or anything like that, you know, charge them up or whatever it is. It is just rather amazing that there seems to be no source of energy that they deplete or use. And if there was, it would seem to be that you'd have to charge them up somehow, or they'd have to sleep, rest, eat, or something. But you don't find bathrooms or facilities or anything like that.
There's not a McDonald's on board.
Well, not that I knew of, but yeah. There should be, because, you know, the cattle mutilations, that would be a perfect place to set up shop, you know.
Yeah. What do you think is going on with those cattle mutilations? The blood is always gone. Is that scientific research, or do you think it's... I think it might be more sinister. They might need something.
Well,
I don't know. You're the one in investigation.
Let me carry it back a little bit to one of the people that I respect highly, and that's Ted Oliphant. And in interviews that he had with me, he said... He simply called me down to, he said, I know you're coming down here to San Francisco to the conference. He said, I want to buy you a steak, which that's a setup. Ted buys you steak, you fix and get grilled. You're going to be on the grill, not the steak. And he's a wonderful man, he's an ex-cop and sharp as a razor. And as soon as I start to take the first bite of the steak, he looks at me and says, what do you know about cattle mutilations? And boy, I mean, he hit me three more times with that one until finally... I kept telling him, you're the expert. What in the world would I know as compared to you? And that didn't work at all. So finally I looked at him and said, I think you got at least three kinds of cattle mutilations. I said, the first kind are the kind that they do. I said, and you know it. The second kind are the kind that we do. He said, who's we? I said, well, NSA, of course. And the third kind are the kind that I think a special group of people, like cultists. And I said, I don't mean your local witch who thinks that if they go out and butcher a dog or a cow or chop something up. I'm not talking about that kind of goofy stuff. I'm talking about someone who is so clear about their viewpoints that they think that if they can mutilate something like what they did, the entities, that those entities, if we emulate them, might come down and pick us up and we'll go out for some alien tea and, discuss matters of the universe. What those poor folks don't realize is, number one, that's not going to work. You just messed up the cattle. And second of all, is even if that did work and you get taken on board, you're going to end up on the slab just like the rest of us. You're not any better than anyone else, and they don't care what you know or what you think you know.
What do you recall them doing to you, or do you?
Well, actually... I remember quite a bit, and my final event, in fact, the lady asked this morning, she says, would you tell us about your final event and what happened? I said, no, I will not. And she says, why not? And I said, well, because if I tell you that, and I describe these entities and so on, I said, none of which show up in the literature, the ones that showed up in this last event of mine. I said, within hours, they'll be all over the internet, and people will be saying, see me too. This is what I said, well, I got a better idea. Why don't you just draw them for me? And then whenever I see they're just, I'll compare them. And why? Goodness sakes, if yours are right, then I said, only eight people have been able to do that. And the unfortunate eight people have been able to describe these entities. One of them was my sister-in-law. She ended up with grand mal epilepsy after her contact with his final group of entities. I said, my son was one of them. He unfortunately encountered them. I barely survived this mess at age 17. He encountered them at age 6 and almost destroyed his life.
this idea that somehow or another these beings are here to help us save the planet, fix the ozone hole or whatever, it's just not consistent with the evidence. Anyone who has half a brain or even half the interest to read this can study it and read it from one book alone is a marvelous illustration of it, the Bob Pratt's book, The UFO Danger Zone, the work of about 10 years that he did down in the Amazonian Basin, where the Chupa Chupas, refrigerator-sized UFOs, would come up out of the Amazonian River and attack the Amazonian Indians. I mean, what in the world do you suppose they did wrong to the universe? Nothing. But these Chupa Chupas, these UFOs, refrigerator-sized UFOs, would attack these people and tortured and harass these people for over 10 years. I mean, one says, well, why didn't that happen in the U.S.? Why has it happened down there? Because nobody's going to report it down there. It doesn't matter. This is the Amazonian base. These are Indians. You know what it means. Report all the important news on the reservation. It ain't going to make the news. These are Indians. Now, let that happen to some important person here in the United States. Why? That might make the papers.
What about the NSA investigation or whomever the Black Project people are? They're probably, as you told me before, they're probably coming along and investigating what happened.
In my opinion, that's true. Ted and I disagreed on a particular point. His thesis was that that somebody in the military, the intelligence community, was running the cattle mutilation business. And I said, well, I think part of that's true. I said, but for the most part, it's not. And he said, well, I think it is. And I said, well, I think it's not. And he said, I think it is. And I said, well, how does it feel to be wrong? And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, I'm just going to tell you, you know, you're wrong, and then I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in two ways. I said, let me produce a scenario, and you see if I'm right, or you tell me if I'm wrong. I said, I have a friend who's an NSA, he's an aeronautics engineer who designed some of the equipment on the DSP satellite. That DSP satellite is a device that is $125 million unit. There's 18 of them up there floating around space, 22,300 miles up. And those units are featured in the movie Enemy of the State. They can see infrared, ultraviolet, and visible light all at the same time. If someone called NSA, for instance, and told DSP satellite people, we have a fluorescent signature we're looking for on a certain population of, let's say, cattle. And if you see this anywhere in your scans in central United States, as an example, with this signature, would you please call us? They don't know who it is they're working for. They simply report that's all they do. They're not part of a conspiracy. They're just doing their job. They report, oh, we've got a fluorescent signature, that exact signature, and here it is over in Podoke, Kansas, in this poor farmer's field. And so all of a sudden, black helicopter shows up from NSA, and that's who it is, eight times the size of the Central Intelligence Agency, monitoring your activities in the United States for your good.
Kagan Hunter, he's here. Daryl Sims, we're in Roswell, New Mexico. Bovines put off the heat anyway, don't they? I mean,
yes,
they'd be easy to pick up by satellite.
Well, that's true. All animals have got a heat. The fact is that if bovines or a deer population, I assisted the DSP satellite specialist, I said, are you telling me that if cattle or deer population gave off heat more than other, at least 5 degrees more than the other cattle, say, around them, you could detect that in fact that cow might have mad cow disease? And he said, that is correct. I said, do you feel like we have a mad cow disease, so to speak? Because there are different versions of this, variations of this, but do you feel like that the spongiform, the mad cow disease type sickness that was prevalent in the UK, is it in the United States? He got silent, and he said, yes. I swear specifically. He didn't say anything. I said, is it in the deer population in the central part of the United States? He said, yes, it is. Well, we all know that now. I mean, it's out. It's been out for 2 or 3 years now.
But what kind of information did you pick up to even think that question?
Well,
you know, in our business, that's the important part of it. You got to ask the right question.
You do. You do. And you're asking them. you're pinning me down every time.
Just wait, folks. We'll find out. But he's pretty good at dodging this little secret black world he was in. But we'll find out. One of these days, I'll slip him up.
Bringing everything to light. That's Jerry Pippen. The fact is that some of the things we found out about. How I came to know all about what I do know about the DSP satellite system, I learned from the DSP satellite specialist, and he approached me actually after a conference. He said, "I need to talk to you." He said, "Could you come over to my home?" And I said, "Well, sure." So we went over, and we both had top secret clearances, and we had to ask questions certain ways and without violating our oaths and getting ourselves in trouble. So we simply did. And I was amazed at how many things he told me that were not classified. People would know that to ask him. So one of the things that he did inform me of, wasn't classified, is that there are actually a record of UFOs, and that's not the correct term, Fast Walker, which is a code name for UFO in the intelligence community. And he admitted that Fast Walkers had been seen many times on the DSP satellites. They're all over their logs. They have the correct time, date, place of every one of those events. There are thousands of them. I saw those logs myself. Those logs themselves were amazing simply because they literally could prove your abduction or close encounter experience because the government's got them all. They do. And of course, he pulled some of them out and showed them to me. Those logs are not... They are available to the public, but the fact is, if you go in after them, as he said, in a short period of time, they will become classified.
Fast Walker, how do you think you got that name? That's an intriguing name for UFOs.
Really, it implies to me, and it may not to them, but it implies to me, to the intelligence community, it may not be the same thing, but to me it implies something that moves at the speed of walking, in other words, slow, and it can do it also fast. So whatever this thing is, it can do some pretty odd things. One of the questions I asked him was rather curious to me because UFO people or people even taking pictures of UFOs, they'll see it up there and all of a sudden the thing will wink out like, whoa, where'd it go? And I said, told the guy, I said, look, a lot of these people think this thing disappeared, went to another dimension, some other whatever it is. I said, my suspicion is it's still present. He looked at me and smiled and said, it is. I said, are you telling me that it simply moved over to the infrared or ultraviolet range? He said, that's exactly what it did. He said, because we still see it.
Yeah, it seems to be more apparent that that's happening these days when you take that as a thesis or a background or a hunch, that they're just shifting the light waves like sound waves. Like you can take sound waves and you can have a neutral area, you know, but you can't hear anything. Well, I guess
sounds good to me.
They do the same thing with light waves, evidently. He said he had a top secret clearance, folks. How come?
I have a top secret clearance. Here he is, pinning my ears back again, ladies and gentlemen. You need to write him and say, hey, let the man off the hook. I have a top secret clearance. I did. And in fact, I brought it to Roswell with me. And when I was on the radio program, different people and different interviews, and different people, could I bring it? Because I want people to look at it. And I said, because there have been people that have said that, you know, you never were really in the military. You never were in the CIA. You never were in any of those things. You made it all up. Well, the only problem with the documents I brought, if you forged those documents, or if you, one of them, if you even fill it out improperly and then sign it as if it was fact, it's a felony. So I'm committed several felonies today if, in fact, I have forged those documents. Now, do you think I'm going to risk 20 years in prison to forge something that I actually have on my military record? Of course not. So I got a top secret clearance because I went into the military. I volunteered during the Vietnam War, which in my opinion was one of the worst things that ever happened in the United States during that time, but and to Vietnam too. The whole thing was horrible, and it's not a political statement against any party. I mean, everybody was involved in it, and it was just ugly. The bottom line is simply that I volunteered during the Vietnam War, and I went into Fort Gordon, Georgia to the military police school. While I was in the military police school, there were about 100 of us, I guess, 120 or so, called out and sent to a special building. And while we were there, there was a group of people there,
in suits, and they claimed to be military. We looked at them. They seemed to kind of like be military. We thought maybe they were CID. That's Criminal Investigation Division of the Military Police. You know, that's just the uniform. That's the civilian clothes unit of the military police. And I kept asking, you know, who are you guys? And never could get an answer. They just smiled. And finally, they weeded out about 80% of us and said, the rest of you, we want to talk to an interview. And the head guy, who was a colonel, or identified himself as a colonel, I later found out he was, interviewed me and said, you're exactly what we want. And I said, I doubt that. I said, who are you guys? Mm-hmm. And they never would tell us. And after my whole unit went to Vietnam, with the exception of me, and they told me, said, you will not be going to Vietnam. You will be stationed in country at our special little place. And where's that? I can't tell you. I mean, I just couldn't understand this. So anyway, I went. They sent me to Fort Myer in Virginia. Had 28 generals on the installation, including Westmoreland. I bodyguarded him and his family on several occasions. And I stayed there until my top secret clearance was finished. I still had no idea who in the world I was working for or going to work for. And they flew me on a Learjet with several other guys. And there were two guys that were sitting there in these Hong Kong suits. I looked at the suits and said, man, you did not buy that around here.
And they didn't get the money from the Army.
No, they didn't. These were not military guys. We were flying in a Learjet.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I'd never done that before. This is really nice. So, long story short, we flew down to a top secret installation in the United States, and these guys looked at us like we were diseased. And a few days later, after the clearance was in, they were looking at us like we were family. Mm-hmm. And they said, welcome to the Central Intelligence Agency,
and so,
which we affectionately refer to as the company.
And so you were a member of the company, and now that's about as far as we're able to probably to get him to go, but we still have a couple of segments, so stay tuned, folks. Daryl Sims, the Alien Hunter, is with us. We are in Roswell, New Mexico. You know, you've been in the Secret Ops Department, CIA. You admit that part. Why doesn't the government come clean, or what's happening here with the UFO phenomenon?
Well, first of all, even beyond my opinion, it's important for your audience to know, and many of them may be well informed, but for those of you who are not sure of how this system works, for the most part, when you go to the government, if you walked up front door of the CIA and said, I want to know all about UFOs, those people will think you're nuts. And the reason is because they don't have a clue. And they don't. It's a generally assumed idea that just because you're in the CIA or NSA or anything else, that you automatically know everything.
You need to know there, too.
Exactly.
Just like
the military. And they don't. There is there are groups within the Central Intelligence Agency and NSA, NSA being 8 times the size of the Central Intelligence Agency. There are groups, and in particular, in my opinion, NSA is primarily responsible for the cover-up and for this whole mess. I mean, when were they started? Look at the date of Roswell and see if you can figure that out.
That was very close.
Very close.
Mm-hmm. So it still begs the question, do they realize that there's a threat and we can't handle it? Is that it?
I think you hit it right on the head, as usual. In my opinion, and I had this confirmed by two Russian scientists when I spoke to the 6th annual former Soviet Union intelligence agents meeting. We had a big meeting for UFOs.
Folks, Daryl may reside in Houston, Texas, but his playground is the world.
I feel important.
Now I phrase it a little differently, but you actually do investigations everywhere and do lots of speeches.
That is true. The Germans hired me to do 3 investigations in Israel. That was interesting, walking into Israel, and they said, why are you here? You know, they were always questioning, just real sharp people. They really are. And I said, well, German magazine. What?
Yeah, right.
Step over here.
Yeah.
that was a lot of fun. But everything went real well. So the fact is that the government is, in my opinion, the government, when I say that, I mean the people who are in the know, do cover this sort of thing up. And the reason they're doing it is because I think two things are important. One is I think we're in trouble, and I think they know it.
And two is, I think,
in trouble as versing the alien threat.
Yes, I think that Star Wars, the name Star Wars, is an accurate term. The two Russian scientists, after I did my presentation in Slovakia, in which I received a medal from the people there for doing this presentation, two former Soviet bloc scientists came up and said, "We know all about Star Wars," and they enlightened me. And I mean, they really enlightened me. So I was, of course, we all know that the primary purpose of that system is to look for a missile, a nuclear threat, and self-defense, self-preservation. We all know that. Of course, that's the first primary. And same thing with the DSP satellite, looking for plumes of a missile that's been fired. But we know all of that. The question is, what else is it for? And as Ron told me, the DSP satellite specialist, he said realistically, he said, what the DSP satellite is $125 million UFO detector. He's because that's what it does. So I there's no question that the government, and again, we have to be specific about that and say a certain portion of the government knows about this, and they are hiding it. In my opinion, I think Ronald Reagan brought this out crystal clear on five occasions. He said, "Mr. Gorbachev, if an alien species from another world came and attacked us, how little our differences would be, and we would have to join together to do what?" Why in the world would you bring up something like that at a place like that? Why would you keep using those type illustrations? Claimed he was going to open this thing up, too, and he ended up with Alzheimer's. I don't know if there's any connection, but it is curious to me that every time somebody gets to open this thing up, like Barry Goldwater and other people, they get shut down.
Well, there is that UFO disease syndrome.
Yeah, I guess so. It seems to be catching.
Yes. No doubt about it. So basically, your book is going to be out by Christmas. And you have some heretofore unseen pictures, proof of what these alien beings look like.
We think that the pictures are accurate. One of the things that I often tell abductees is, just because you're drawing what you feel like that you saw doesn't mean that that's exactly what it was, because these entities mess with your memory and your ideas. And I said, the photographs and the film will be the best illustration. And the photographs we have are kind of similar, but they are definitely different.
And Daryl, it's been a fast hour. Always is when we have you on. This book is called Fluorescence, Bringing the Evidence to Light.
That is correct.
Not Florence, folks. Florence has nothing to do with this. Just fluorescence.
We just do conferences in Florence.
Yeah. Now, people have these memories, and you delve into this a lot, and we've done shows about it, but they have these memories of these abductions that are not necessarily true, correct?
That is correct. The alien entity covers up his tracks. He covers up his tracks. Why? Because he does the same thing that any intelligence community would do. They hide, and they hide their secrets because they have something to hide, and if you expose it, you will find that they have a vulnerable part. Just like any intelligence community. Mossad, KGB, CIA, doesn't matter. It's all the same. Which made me think, when I was in the intelligence community, isn't it interesting that they, whoever they are, do just exactly what we were doing? They cover up, they lie, they deceive.
Do you have an inkling of who they might be?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me. Since you're not going to, I'll have to guess. But the fact is that the entities, whoever they are, they do cover their tracks pretty well. We've had abductions of eight people at the same time on the same craft telling the same story. They told the same stories on their descriptions of their events. But when they asked the alien a question, they got eight different answers. Now, I used to be a police officer. If you give me eight different answers when I ask you questions, you're going to jail until I get at least seven of them resolved. That's called lying to a police officer. And what's the difference between these entities? Why in the world do they have to lie to us if they're so smart, they're so high-powered and so powerful? In fact, I'll give your audience a hint. They're probably only 15 years ahead of us.
Really?
Not 80 million years, not light years, not time traveling millions of years. They are about 15 years ahead. In fact, if you'll look at some of the tech that we have today and some of the things we've got, and I'll give you an illustration. announcement was made just the other day, and those of you who are in the know and get on that internet and read, you know what I'm talking about. Announcement was made that they actually transported molecules for the first time, absolutely, totally transported them from one location to the other. Now, abductees have been telling you that kind of stuff for 50 years, and people look at them like a calf looking at a new gate, like you're totally nuts. And now you guys are doing it. You're scientists. About 15 years, in my opinion, is all they are ahead of us at best. And I think because we're closing that gap, that creates a problem for them.
In other words, the danger element may be rising because we may be wise to them pretty soon.
It seems that way to me. Recently, on January the 20th, 1996, a UFO was shot, and a hole blown out of the side of it. There was a call made from NORAD to the government of Brazil saying the UFO is coming down in your sector. So I guess the real question is, who shot the UFO? Who could have done that? And I can just basically tell you on a reasonably good educated guess, Star Wars.
You think it's been developed that far?
I think we're in trouble, and I think somebody out there in our intelligence community knows it, and I think they're actually protecting us.
So it's a scary thought, an interesting thought, a thought that will keep our listeners challenged till the next time we talk to you. A lot of things have been happening in Brazil and Mexico, and now they had you were aware of the thing over in Portugal a couple of weeks ago when the ground-to-air missile was fired at a UFO. I mean, these things seem to be all of a sudden fighting back.
Instead of blaming our military for protecting us, we ought to ask the question, why are you shooting at something that doesn't exist? What do we need protection from, Mr. Military?
Daryl Sims, what are you doing next? Where are you going in the next 2 or 3 months? Or are you going to be working on your book only?
We'll be working on the book, but we're also doing a TV shoot. We'll be doing that in Flagstaff, Arizona, in the middle of the month. And then I've got a couple other conferences I'm thinking about doing. But most of what I'm interested in right now is putting together two expeditions and financing them out of my own pocket.
Expeditions to where?
Well, I could tell you, but you know the CIA. Well, actually, I will tell you. One of them
please.
Is in, okay, you talked me into it. One of them is going to be in Slovakia. I'll tell you that much. The other one's in the United States.
Slovakia, does that involve a cave with a strange noise coming out of it in a mountain?
Well, it could, but it doesn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll go back to the drawing board, and I'll be back to ask you next time.
Very good. Hopefully, I'll have some better answers for you.
Check out Daryl Sims' connections to his website and all his activities on our website at jerrypippin.com. We link to him all the time. We've got all kinds of things over there about Daryl, and he keeps us up to date. One time I asked him to update me, and he sent me about 32 emails in about 32 minutes that were all about 20 pages apiece. I'm still reading them, Daryl. I haven't caught up on all of them.
Well, I have to keep you informed.
Yes. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure, sir.
Roberta Scott was our producer. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. I'm Jerry Pippin.